Hey guys, I have a question. Did you ever have a shirt that doesn't fit quite right or just not stylish enough anymore? Well, I can solve that problem for you. Go check out AtomicLotusApparel.com to find an awesome design for t-shirts at a great price. Also, while you're on the site, go check out the new River City 93 t-shirt and tell us what you think about it. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to River City 93. I'm your co-host, Elliot Barr.
Shanae Duran II.
You always got to put that part in there. Yeah. And how was your weekend?
Pretty uneventful.
Sounds like the Kickers game.
Most of my stuff got rained out, so didn't end up having any games to coach this weekend. So
I went to a baby shower. You know, Palm Sunday. You know, praise the Lord. And that's about it. So we're not going to talk about the game. Not going to mention it. Didn't happen. No, we're joking. We're going to talk about it. Richmond loses 3-1 to Atlantic Unite in the second round. I mean, well, it's the third round, but second round of us meeting up in the span of 3 weeks. Couple of highlights from the game. Brayden Troyer comes back. Dennis Chen makes his debut. Maxi Rodriguez gets sent off. Yeah.
Some ups and downs there.
So, all right. So, let's start off with the first half. Pretty much, we started off in a 4-4-2. Different than the 4-2-3-1 that we thought that we were going to play.
Yeah.
But me and you were kind of talking before we started today that it seemed like the 4-4-2 seemed to be like the right thing with the whiff that the baseball diamond soccer pitch.
The lack of width that we had in that game. I really have a serious issue with fields being that narrow, with using baseball diamonds outfields as soccer fields. That's just no. And you could see it really affected. To be honest with you, it affected both teams because I think this is Lansing's first time playing there.
Yeah, I think this is their home opener.
Their home opener, and this is their first time playing at this stadium. Yeah. It's not like they were there last year.
I do believe that whoever owns Lansing Ignite also owns the minor league team, the Lansing Lugnuts. So, of course, the owner's going to be like, I'm not going to show money for a new stadium just yet. Like, y'all can share this stadium space. And you could tell, like, it's definitely the first time that someone's played there because Lansing Ignite's defense looked like nothing that it did during game one. Like, it didn't look like they were as sharp.
No, they weren't. So, and to be honest with you, anyone who was defending that right side.
Oh, yeah. It was slipping and falling all over. Like, I remember one part, we were at the watch party for the Red Army. And it was Pete who pointed out, he was like, I guarantee you someone's going to slip and the field is going to like bunch up like a dead raccoon. And as soon as he said it, someone slipped and the field like bunched up. We're all like, oh.
I think it did it about 8 or 9 times throughout the... Every time somebody went over there, grass was lifting up. You had players putting grass back down. And that's unacceptable.
So the game started off, the kickers were attacking... down that way, and Lansing United was defending that way. And it seemed like Richmond kickers, Preston was doing really well, passing was sharp, and literally everyone was comfortable on the ball. Right up until the 35th minute, where Maxi gets his second yellow card.
Yeah.
I think in the span of, 10 minutes? If I'm not wrong? Because he got the first yellow card when he shoved, I believe it was St. Duca, out of bounds because he was making a run. Got a yellow card for that, and then you got a second yellow card for trying to get the ball back. 10 minutes later, gets a red card.
Yeah, late tackle, second yellow to his red.
And it just seemed like it changed everything for us. Like, any kind of pressure we had in the midfield was kind of gone. It seemed like, I mean, of course, losing your captain doesn't help at all.
And probably, arguably, the best player all around on the team so far from what I've seen.
And it kind of seemed like from what it looked like to me, it seemed like he was man-marking Alex Bruce and kind of keeping an eye on St. Duke. Like, that was kind of like his job. Like, You keep an eye on Bruce. Make sure he doesn't make any wild, crazy runs. Call up what you see. Keep an eye on Duka. And with him not in there, we kind of went to a 4-3-2. Or it seemed like sometimes Gallardo would kind of drop back in the midfield. Something. I'm assuming he doesn't seem that uncomfortable because he's an attacking mid and a striker.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, with his work rate, he was doing a decent job. Just running around the pitch as much as he could.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well, if you go look at the starting lineups, Anstakov and Boheim both got starts today, which kind of confused me a little bit because I was looking for Boateng to at least get the start.
Yeah, especially after his performance last week. I was expecting to see him or maybe at least come off the bench to run at tired legs.
Yeah. You know,
but nothing.
I was expecting him to get the start. I was a little surprised to see
him. I don't think I even saw him among the list of subs.
I didn't either. That kind of surprised me. I was surprised to see, however, that Troyer made the starting roster. He was on the subs bench. I thought he was out to later May.
Yeah, I guess it ahead of schedule with his recovery.
That's a good thing to see.
Yeah, it's a good thing because we needed that work rate, that confidence. Interestingly enough, just like you said last week, was it last week or the week before where we were talking about the right back position?
Yeah. We were talking about whether or not he was better at like a fullback or a CDM.
Yeah, and he did a great job of playing as a deep CDM today to come in and...
for the best he could.
Yeah, on a 10-man squad.
All right, so we're still going to talk about the goals and everything, but just a little bit, dive a little bit deeper in this. When Troyer came in the game, do you think the team went too defensive, or do you think it was just try to hold off the fire as best as you could?
I mean, I feel like that's all they could do. Just hold off as best as you could, because I'm not sure if it was before. Yeah, it was at the beginning of the second half. I mean, when you're down a man, who was it that came off? Anskoff?
I believe it was Anskoff who came on.
And again, you see Anskoff was out on the wing. They kind of got rid of those wingers. Because another thing that did happen a couple of times in the first half, because of how narrow and how small the pitch was, you had kickers players getting in each other's way.
Yeah.
At one point, Maxi Rodriguez and Joey G actually got their legs tangled up. Both ended up hitting the grass and turned over the ball to Lansing Ignite.
Yeah, I mean, in the first half, the Richmond Kickers definitely had opportunities. I believe in one time, we broke away Joey G's 1-on-1, and it looked like he's trying to, like, pass the ball off to Jackson, and he just gets tumble feet. Like,
yeah.
It was early enough chance, and it was just like, it kind of makes you think now, like a butterfly effect. Like, if we score that chance, does Maxi get the yellow card? Does he have... Like, exactly. It's just weird things to happen. But I mean, we're not going to be conspiracy theorists. We're going to leave that up to other people.
Yeah.
Not going to blame the field about the performance all the way.
No, because at the end of the day, both players had to play on.
Both teams got to play on it. There's nothing we can do about it. So let's talk about the first goal, the Nick Moon rifle. That I don't even think Akira...
No, he didn't. It was a very, very good strike. But I know you said we don't want to talk about the pitch anymore, but the pitch did play a very big part in that goal, especially with Greg. Greg Boehm taking over tracking Moon from Lockerbie, and the moment he takes over, some of the grass goes out from under him.
Yeah, okay.
And slows him down.
So I have to give you credit on this, because when I was watching the game live, I was just like, yo, why is no one stepping to him? Why is no one, like, just cutting him off the angle or anything like that? But then you pointed out, like, what you just said. Like, he totally slips. And it's like, if you ever play rec league, when you see someone slip and you have a chance to go, you're taking a chance. Totally.
Exactly.
Like, you know, oh, there's an opportunity. There's a split second. Oh, I'm taking it. And that's what he did. He took his opportunity. He pretty much, I don't think he curled it. I think he just rifled it. And he just skies up into the top net. Like, if let's say, I'm trying to think of a midfielder in the Premier League. If Pogba scores that in the Premier League, mm-hmm. we're seeing that highlight all over Twitter.
Oh, yeah. We're seeing that highlight all week.
All over. Oh, yeah. All over. Like, and to fair credit to them, it's nothing you can do to defend that. As a goalkeeper, that's one of the things you just like. Only that at best, he was dive and hope that it hits the crossbar and tips out.
Yeah.
I mean, it did make a difference because I did, you know, halftime happens. We brought Chen on. We brought Troy on. I mean, Chen and Troy on. It seemed like we kind of went to, I was saying, it looked like we went 5 in the back. You're saying we went 4 in the back.
Yeah, I think it was still 4 in the back, but Troyer, because of us being down a man, was playing a little deeper as a CDM, so literally right in front of the back two,
yeah.
right in front of the center backs. So it's almost as if to say he was a third center back, but he was distributing the ball in the midfield like a CDM would when they did have possession.
So I still think that we sat back too far. I think, for the first goal, we definitely did. Yeah.
We definitely sat back too far. He had everybody back
I think
there.
If you give Coach a second run at this, I think what he does is go 4-4-1. And he doesn't bring Chen. He brings Chen on after the first goal. I think he still makes that substitution. I do think, however, that going with a flat four back there is kind of like pushing everyone up still.
Yeah.
He's still kind of contained with. And you just have Chen or Jackson at that moment making runs at the back three. I think with us going 3 to midfield, I think what Lancey did was like kind of like licking the chops. Like any team that presses, you know, you're down a man. All right, I know you're going to have tired legs.
Yeah.
I know there's only but so much spacing you can do. So now I'm going to attack and overload one side. And they pretty much overloaded that side where the infield was.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the part they overloaded.
Yeah, they overloaded that side. They just ran at us from that side. Our defenders' feet were stuck in the grass and couldn't. It's interesting that the first goal comes from that side, but the other two goals come from the other side of the pitch. But all the danger was coming from that left flank, or to Lansing. In the second half, it was the left flank that they were coming down.
Yeah, I totally agree. All right. So then Chen comes on, and then the second goal. And this is the goal that I'm like, guys, come on. Come on. You got to give me some hope here.
If I'm Bulow.
Oh, everyone's running laps.
The entire back line is running sprints because every single one of the players on that back line were ball watching.
Yeah, it totally looks like that. I mean, look. Thompson, I believe, was defending against Rise. And as a defender, yeah, you want to have space. But at some moment, you got to make that step to him. You got to either force him to the line or force him to make a pass earlier when he wants to. And it's kind of like, he's just backing off, or kind of just strifling in space. And then he makes a ball in. And it's literally, if you look at the replay, Aqua and who else? Malaga's all is just looking at the ball. And no one's calling out, like, hey, Bruce is making the run.
It's to be honest with you, as the ball's coming in, Bruce is the only person moving.
Yeah.
The only person moving as that ball is coming in.
And I was just like, yo, he's making the run and no one's calling it out. And he taps it in 2 feet out. I mean, he's not going to miss that.
He's definitely not going to miss that. But that's not the only time that communication was an issue.
Yeah.
Early on in the game, in the first half, Matt Bulldog has the ball and is starting to press forward. Lansing actually turned the ball over with Matt Bulldog getting an interception. Mm-hmm. And he's coming down that dreaded left side.
Yeah.
And a Lansing player comes flying from behind him. Not a single person lets him know that there's someone bearing down on him.
Yeah.
That is elementary communication.
Yeah.
Man on is the most used statement by soccer players on the field ever. And nobody let him know that someone was at on his six and coming at him crazy. And just took the ball from him. And you could see Matt Baldock tries to chase the guy down to win the ball back. It gets passed off and passed off. And he stands in the middle of the field and puts his arms up like, who was going to tell me that someone was right behind me?
Yeah, that's true. It looked like things that we saw against the draw against Tormenta popped up against Zinzi. And I don't know if it's just like Lansing or just in our head now or going down a man. Just, I don't know if you can even use that. But it's just like communication amongst the back line was just non-existent.
It was. And it was. I think that back line still needs work. You could see moments of frustration from Wahab Akwe.
Yeah.
You could see moments where he would make a last-ditch tackle and turn around and yell at the rest of the team for letting it get that far.
Yeah, I agree.
And so, I mean, it's... There's still... I think there's still some communication issues that still need to be resolved. It's still new, still very new. It's only been, what, a month or two that they've been playing together, yeah, is that.
I know it's easy to lose patience because you're like, all right, 3 weeks in, guys. We gave up 6 goals to the same team already. But it's kind of, it's like communication is a big thing, especially out there in soccer. And when you're playing on the road in a team's home opener, you know, granted, I was at a watch party, so I wasn't able to hear how loud the stadium was, but I'm assuming it had to be loud.
I mean, it was, from what I could see, watching it, I mean, I watched it at home, so I wasn't at a watch party.
The Jones was being pretty, at home.
It was pretty loud. Especially behind the goal that the kickers were defending in the first half.
Yeah, that's where, right behind where the supporting section was.
Yeah,
which, by the way, I gotta admit, that's kind of dope that you're in like a true outfield. Like you're standing the whole time. Like, it's pretty cool.
Well, I mean, we're in the stands. We're in the Red Army, but we don't sit.
No. Sitting's not allowed.
They may as well just get rid of the benches in section O.
Like, I'm all with it. I'm all for it.
They just get in the way.
Yeah, exactly. They're dangerous. We gotta find something funny to laugh at here. So another thing that we talked about was during the first half, and we're kind of going back and forth between the halves. We're gonna talk about Chen's goal. I know that's a goal that everyone was kind of like, all right, we got hope. It's 2-1. But it's kind of like going back to the first half, there was no free shooting. It seemed like we were waiting for that perfect opportunity to take a shot.
Yeah.
It seemed like, yeah, we were leaking up play, but it never really came off with anything. Like, I think we ended up with only, what, 1 shot on target, 5 shots total to Lansing's 13, and there's 6 shots on target. Like, it seemed like Lansing was just like, all right, take the shot if you got it. And it seemed like we were just like, wait for that moment, wait for him to open up.
I think I like what Danny Jackson brings to the team.
Yeah.
I feel that if Chin is given more playing time, he could be way more devastating because he was making some runs.
I mean, that's totally where the goal came from the kickers. Like, it was something where if you're not a striker, you are not going to make that run in to a goalkeeper who is diving. Exactly. If they, in that second, pull the ball back and shoot it into the far post.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, anyone else is like, as soon as I get my foot in the ball, I'm rifling it.
Yeah.
And the goalkeeper might have a chance to save it.
Exactly.
So,
and then, exactly. Just swinging a foot at it because it's in such close quarters and it's a frantic moment. But also, another thing is Chin made a lot of great runs out of the midfield.
He did.
And with his hand up, yelling, calling, just put the ball, put a through ball into space in front of me. I guarantee you I'll get to it. And I have to fault our midfielders for not doing it. Joey G, who else? Baldock, Greg, they'd get the ball and they'd look up at him. I could see them looking at him in that space And they're still trying to see if they can find that perfect.
It was like over. It's like overthinking.
Overthinking
in that moment, because it's like, I know Lance is pressing, so I don't want to lose the ball in cheap. We're down a man. I don't want to lose the ball cheaply. I know he's making a run.
But yeah, we're down a man, but we are also losing. Yeah. And Chin came on to help us get back into the game. And he tried to do that with that goal.
Yeah.
Now, on top of that, he's making these runs in. Chin has pace, too. He has some decent pace, which means you just lump that ball over the back, too, and have him run onto it. At this point, it's not. We can't be playing pretty soccer when we're down a man and down and score. Direct, maybe not route one, but at least get some of those through balls in, because he's making the runs.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think that's the downfall of us only having one person up top. I think if we had two up top, or maybe someone that can link up to Chin, it helps out. But having Chin on that island against three center backs, it's pretty much impossible for us at that moment to play a long ball over the top and hopefully Chin gets a foot on it.
Yeah.
Gets on there and is able to beat three people. Like, that only works but so much.
Yeah. It does, but you don't. It doesn't work if you don't try it.
Yeah, that's true.
There were so many times where either Joey G or Matt Bulldog would get the ball, you'd see that space, you'd see the perfect pass lined up, and Chin raising his hand saying, yep, go for it, and they turn and try and go to the outside wide. Going wide on a field that's a hallway is not a good idea. I mean, you're not going to be able to get crosses in, because guess what? The fullback is right in front of you, and guess what? The center back is right there as well, because it's that close.
So Chin got the goal, and then we're like that moment we were to hope. And then all of a sudden, darkness sets in.
Oh, my goodness.
Darkness. Darkness sets in. When you first see it, you're like, guys, just communicate. And then it's Stoneman again. It's Stoneman. So for those who've seen the goal, it's pretty much a corner kick. That pretty much, is, I don't think it's a corner kick. It just kind of like loops into the box, but it hits it. Chin gets a foot on it, and he tries to clear it. Gets his foot stepped on it. And there's no foot to stone, but like at that moment, you're not worried about if someone gets his foot stepped on or not.
Yeah.
He takes a touch, and then pretty much loops it over everyone into the top left corner. So, all right. By the way, I'm not a master tactician. I'll just give you Elliot Barr FIFA experience on this goal and horrible center back defending. All right, so what I saw was Chin goes to clear it, and you can kind of see the back line take a moment to be like, all right, he cleared it. We can take our time, get out of the box. We can push out. We can reorganize. And it's like everyone goes, takes a step, and then it's funny because everyone looks and see like Stoneman has the ball. And they're like, Oh, the house is on fire. And then, I think who steps out to go try to block? I think it's Lockerbie.
It might not be Lockerbie. Was it Lockerbie? I believe it was.
And Lockerbie kind of...
No, it was Scott Thompson.
It was Thompson?
It was Scott Thompson. God. Scott Thompson is the first one to try and react. But he's not in a position where he can make himself big without risking a PK with a handball. Yeah.
So he kind of like puts his hands behind the back and turns his shoulder, try to like deflect it.
And he literally looped it over his ankle.
Yeah, he loops it over, I think, three people, because it goes over Aqua, who jumps up. It goes over Malagas, who jumps up. And it just, it's like, oh, like really?
Yeah.
Like we scored. Like you can't just, I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, that ball goes over the crossbar.
Yeah.
And it's a goal kick.
Yeah.
It just happened to be that 1 out of 10 chance that ball
just dipped right into the top corner. Yeah, top right corner. It was a very good strike. Good reaction to prevent the clearance by Stoneman. But, and again, and granted, yeah, it is late on in the game. It's late. We're down a man. Tired legs. The defense has been battered by constant attacks coming down the right flank where the field is basically like a marsh. And
I think at one moment, possession for Lansing versus Richmond was 70-30%.
Yeah.
I think of that, yeah. And pass completion went from 80% to 60%. So it dropped off a bunch.
Yeah.
Switching halves and going down the man. Like, it just... And I don't want to make excuses for the team, even though it's like, you see clear errors, but it's also like things that are fixable.
Yeah.
It's things that are fixable and that we can get sorted out.
This is one of those games where you could see that the kickers were ready to kick it up a notch. They were ready to...
It's like we were stuck in first gear.
They were ready to play a much better game than they've done before.
Yeah.
But they were not prepared... To go down a man. And they were not prepared. I don't think they were aware of what field they were about to play on until they got there. By the way, you could see they approached the first half. Yeah, they were pressing high. Yes, they were attacking. But they were also getting in each other's way. They weren't switching the ball. Yeah. Because when you're on a field like that, switching the ball, when you're out there, it doesn't look like a good idea.
Yeah.
But they weren't switching the ball. They were getting in each other's way. It felt like you threw 22 guys in a room. Literally.
And just like, well, go have fun.
Go and figure something out. Because now, if they were prepared, they knew they were going to be playing on something like that. I do feel that Beulah would have changed things up, would have figured something else out.
Yeah.
Okay, we've got a narrow field. But nothing. It looked like they were caught off guard by the field. They were caught off guard. They did not know that this is what they were going to have to deal with.
Yeah, I agree. It just... All right. After your moments, we're going to take a brief break. And we're going to talk about our next upcoming game, Greenville Triumph. So. Hey. Do you want to know where you can go check out the latest podcast on your favorite MLS, USL Championship, and League One team? Then I will tell you to go check out BGN, Big Beautiful Game Network. The website is bgn.fm. Hey guys, just want to provide an update. Before you listen to this next segment, me and Shanier was watching Orlando City B versus Tormenta, and we mentioned how Orlando City B would win. Knock us down to ninth. Actually, the game ended 1-1. Tormenta scored late in the 95th minute, but unfortunately, William McGrew was sandwiched in between the goalkeeper and Eckenrode, and he was laying on the field. It didn't look good at all. Seemed to be like he was convulsing and everything like that, so we just want to send our prayers to him and to Orlando City B. Hoping the best for him and hoping for a speedy and safe recovery. So, just wanted to provide that update and let you guys know that the game ended 1-1. But the most important thing is McGrew's health. All right. Welcome back, guys. We are going to talk about upcoming game against Greenville Triumph. Greenville recently just won 1-0 over Chattanooga Rebels, correct?
Yes.
All right. Didn't want to get that wrong. I'm going to be honest with you. I am not looking forward to this game.
Me neither.
Not looking forward
to it. And it was in Greenville. So watching the highlights, I got a taste of what that atmosphere is.
All right. So you watched the game.
I watched.
How is it? How is the atmosphere there? Is it?
It's jumping. Let's just say the Greenville fans... they're loud, like we say in the Red Army, they're loud and proud.
Yeah, I can believe it.
All right. And I don't think, I mean, was that their home opener?
No, the home opener was against Lansing. You remember the red card derby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three red cards in one game.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the way I don't have a home opener, folks.
Well, I must say it was entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Very. But no, the Greenville Triumph, they definitely have a very, very wild and loud fan base. Very good fan base.
So, all right. I'm not giving a score prediction this week because every week I've gave a score prediction. We have not won, so I'm not doing that this week. I'm just talking about how we are possibly going to attack this game, what could possibly happen. You can give a score prediction. I'm not. I'm boycotting myself until we win a game. Maybe I'm bad luck. I don't know.
Yeah, no, Greenville... they have a very, very, very good system going on for them on the field. They are passing. They're moving the ball quickly. They're not counterattacking, but they have that pacey attacking style. Yeah. It reminds me of Manchester United under Sir Alex Ferguson. Where it attacking wasn't slow, building out of the back. It was move the ball up the field as quickly as possible. It wasn't route one. It wasn't the West Brom launch the ball up and hope. But it was quickly get the ball from the back through the midfield to the front as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And that is what Greenville did. You could see players pouring forward every time they got the ball. They would just pour forward and they'd be linking up passes left and right. And it was quite devastating. I'm surprised it was only 1-0. They actually had one goal disallowed for offsides as well. Which I'm not sure was offsides.
So you're calling match fixing. That's what you're calling.
No, not calling match fixing. Because it could have been offsides. But unfortunately, USL League One, we don't have the 2,500 cameras that...
I mean, we're
getting MLS and Premier League hat. Yeah, so you can't really get every angle. But it did look like he may have been on. And they got robbed of that one. But they came back and scored another one just for good measure. And
it looks like Triumph's last three games. From what I've seen, they play a 4-2-3-1 narrow with Gomez and Keegan kind of being that connecting pair.
Yeah.
So that's something we're going to have to look out for. In this game, however, we don't know if Amas is going to be back. I'm assuming since Troyer got onto the field, he's going to start. I'm assuming.
I don't know. You think
he's still coming off the bench?
Even with the result today, as a fan, I'd want him
starting. Okay.
But as a coach, I think I would want him starting on the bench. I think... with as long as he has been out, you want to slowly bring him back into full game.
Yeah.
You don't want to
pop up and something else.
And then something else. And then he just relapses on the injury. And then we lose him for the season.
Yeah, I see that. So, we don't know if Amasa is going to be, like I stated earlier. We do know that Maxi is going to be missing this game. So, we're out our captain.
Yeah.
We don't know if Boateng is going to start. I'm assuming I can see us going 4-3-3 with Gallardo out of the wing, Jackson out of one wing, and then Tennant up top.
That would be nice because I've seen Jackson go out wide, so he can go out wide. He can play out wide.
I can see that. I can also see us going back to the 4-2 kind of matching formations, a 4-2-3-1. We play well out of it. I can see Troyer kind of having the same role as Maxi, kind of being that CDM who drives back in the center back in certain moments and playing the ball out to the wings and kind of helping to connect play, also being that wall back there for the center backs. Do you think Shinovsky gets back in the starting lineup?
I don't know. I mean, I think, yeah. After the second goal that Lansing scored against us, I do feel that there are some players that need to get a reality check and need to be sent the message that ball watching is unacceptable in professional.
Yeah.
On the professional level.
That is one thing that there is no excuse for it.
There is no excuse. I mean, somebody somebody's got to take the fall for that, because, and for me, tactically and logistic-wise, it would be the center back that was furthest from the ball.
Yeah.
Because the one who's closest to the ball obviously has the run coming from behind him. But fullbacks, center backs, who's checking that run? Who's letting the other guy know, here comes a runner?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Shinovsky has the experience to probably... If Shinovsky's on the field, that second goal isn't happening, I don't think. Because, like I said, with his experience... With
you know who Shinovsky reminds me of? Vincent Kompany. I know that's like blasphemy because Shinovsky's a United fan. We've had conversations. Yeah. Shinovsky's like, I love you. I love you.
Hey, but you.
But he reminds me of Vincent Kompany.
Vincent Kompany, and
like the last cowboy.
I wouldn't take that as an insult. I don't. I'm a Man U fan too, and I don't like anything Man City. But I've always looked at Vincent Kompany as a very solid center.
Not the quickest.
Not the quickest.
But like cerebral, like you read everything.
Very smart center back.
I would like to see him and Akwi pair again. I do like Balogun, but if...
I think it depends on the game.
Yeah, I agree.
It depends on
who you're playing on.
And Akwi is a mobile center back. He's a center back who will pop up further up the field randomly at random times when he sniffs out that there's an opportunity to do some damage.
Yeah.
He'll be out of position sometimes.
So, field. Matter of fact, we'll ask this on Twitter. We'll start a poll. Who do you prefer to be the center back pairing for the game? Yeah. You know, out of the three, which center back pairing do you like? We'll kind of see where everyone like it. Oh, an update. Orlando City just beat Tormenta.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, so the kickers now move down to ninth in the table. But the odd thing is, if we happen to beat Triumph next week, we're like right outside of fourth.
Yeah, I mean, when you see teams not constantly and consistently dispatching opponents, it makes it easier to move up and down the table.
Yeah, so it's...
So with Tormenta catching that L, it's easier. It'll be easier for us to...
It'd be easier for us to catch, but remember, I know it's easy right now just to poke holes at the commissioner kickers and be like, oh, we're not winning games, we're not doing this, but we're only three games in. We're back home next week. The following week, the 27th against Chattanooga. I think it's a three-home stand we have. I think in that run of games, we play Chattanooga, Lansing again, which, oh boy.
Well, to be honest with you, I think the next Lansing Ignite game will be something completely different. Because I feel that on a different field, this game would have been completely different. Now imagine if yesterday's game was at City Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Or on an actual soccer field.
I want you to know you can direct all tweets not at me, direct them towards Shanier, who doesn't have a social media account, so I guess don't direct them. That's not Lansing fans, that wasn't me. Just put that out there.
I'm pretty sure the Lansing fans are hoping that soon they will actually get a real soccer field to play on. And to be honest with you, the Lansing players were struggling on that field.
Yeah, it looked like the first half.
But here's the thing. This is League One. Yeah. It's obvious that these are all financially small teams, which means they're building.
And yeah, we're not getting bankrolled by, like, countries.
Exactly.
In the Middle East. Yeah. If they are, we need to know.
Yeah.
So we can hop on that gravy train. back to the running games. We got Chattanooga at home. Then we have Atlantic again. We know who we're playing in the U.S. Open Cup. Virginia United, FC. And then we finish off against Tucson. So we got four straight games at home. Hopefully, you know, we can pick up some good wins, get back. Things get a change.
When is
time.
The U.S. Open Cup game?
May 7th.
May 7th.
Yep, 7 p.m. So, that'll be fun. We're going to have to pull double duty that week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you're in a cup yeah. run. You know?
It's going to be fun. So, guys, I believe that is everything for us this week. T- talking points. It's, I know it's rough. I know it's hard right now, but go outside. Look at the sky. What is gloomy? That doesn't help at all. God, this is
horrible. Well, one thing you do need to take from this is, this is, I'm going to compare it to Arsenal right now.
Once again, direct all tweets towards Shanier.
What? No, just hear me out. Because Arsenal, after they finally got rid of Wenger, you had the few fans that every time Arsenal would lose a game would get upset and say, oh, it's the same old Arsenal. But yeah, we can, I think even the rest of us Premier League fans can see that Arsenal are a different team this season.
Yeah, I agree. With you see the building blocks.
You see the building blocks. You can see that over time, hopefully, things will get better.
Yeah. And, you know, it's weird.
And, with the kickers, you've got to be even more patient because look at Arsenal. Most of their players stayed. Kickers, we only got 4 players that stayed.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, too. I think it was, I was having a conversation with Mike Dillon. And if you don't know Mike, Mike is one of the drummers in the Red Army.
Red Rum.
And we were talking, and he was just like, you know, this team right now is still covered by losing. They have losing in their mind. And yes, Taylor Rockwell of the Total Soccer Show talks about it so much. It's like a quicksand mentality. It's like when one thing goes wrong, you're already expecting the next thing to go wrong.
Exactly.
So it's like once we get out of the habit of expecting something to go wrong, then you can see the positive start to flourish.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we're always expecting, oh, this is going to happen next, this is going to happen next.
Yeah.
You know, so that's something that we got to keep in mind of, you know, this team, I hate to say it, does not have a true professional win. This group of players does not have a winner underneath their belt. They're still, you have to learn how to win a game. Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to finish out games. You got to learn, take your opportunities, take your chances.
Well, in terms of finishing out games, I think with the home opener, we already know they know how to finish out games. We almost got a comeback. And yeah, that showed that they will go the whole 90.
Yeah.
The whole 90 minutes, they will push. And that's a good sign. The Richmond Kickers are a team that will not back down. Even in this game, yes, it was a little more cautious because we were playing with 10 men. But I didn't see any heads hanging. I didn't see anyone giving up. It's just bad circumstances. To be honest, it's a bad day at the office.
Yeah, I did see players cuss at each other, so that lets me know that they care.
Exactly.
I didn't see the, typically you see the reckless when someone scores, and you're just like, all right, let's go back.
Like, let's I didn't try
see,
again.
Yeah, no, I didn't see any of that, so that's the positives. Yeah. Hey guys, hope you enjoyed the podcast. You can now find us on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, and Apple Podcasts. So, listen on your favorite podcast or app, leave a like, a review, and give us a share. Hope you enjoyed it.